And Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have partly cloudy skies now in Atlantic and 53 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy here today with a high near 72. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. A bug expert at Iowa State University says all the flooding in Iowa could contribute to a bumper crop of mosquitoes in a few weeks. Entomologist Lyric Bartholomew says mosquitoes lay their eggs in standing water. And if the temperature's just right, the hatchlings are flying around in just a matter of days. Sometimes floods with rapidly moving water can wash away developing mosquitoes, so Bartholomew is uncertain that huge populations will develop. She says we'll know for sure in about 2 weeks, and she says it's wise to get rid of any standing water in your flower pots, gutters, and bird baths if possible, and be sure to cover up with long pants and shirt sleeves when you're outdoors at dusk, where those mosquitoes are most active and most pesky. News time is 8:01.
You're home most of the time just watching television, and you don't have any problems hearing the TV, so you don't need to have your hearing tested.
At family functions, everyone pretty much leaves you alone anyway, so you don't need a hearing evaluation.
At the doctor's office, your wife asks all the questions, and she'll help you get all the medications right once you get home. You don't need to hear everything the doctor says.
When everyone at coffee is laughing and having a good time telling jokes, it doesn't bother you. You just laugh along with them so they don't think you didn't get it. The fact that you missed the punchline is okay. You don't like dumb jokes anyway, and you definitely don't need to get your hearing evaluated.
During your last performance evaluation, you didn't get the raise you expected. Your boss says he's tired of repeating instructions, and if things don't improve, your job might be in jeopardy. Maybe it is time to get your hearing checked.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're tired of missing out on quality time with your family, of missing the punchlines with your friends, and maybe even falling behind at work, there is hope. Take control of your life. Call today for a hearing evaluation. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey yesterday encouraged horse owners to protect their animals from the West Nile virus by making sure their horses are vaccinated and that the vaccinations are up to date. The first year of vaccination requires two vaccinations to be protective for horses and then annual boosters in the following years. Northey says as we enter the mosquito season, it's important for horse owners to vaccinate their animals so they are protected from West Nile virus. And he encourages owners to talk to their veterinarian about vaccination and make sure all of their animal vaccinations are up to date. In 2012, Iowa had 36 confirmed West Nile virus cases in horses. Last year, in most cases, the animals had not had any vaccinations, and in a few of those cases, only had their first dose of the vaccine. Iowa had only one confirmed case in a horse in 2011. West Nile virus has been in the U.S. since 1999, and while it's primarily a disease of birds, it can infect horses, dogs, humans, and several other animal species. It's transmitted by the bite of an infected mosquito. Most animals and humans do not show clinical signs of being infected, but horses may develop a brain infection with signs such as lethargy, weakness, incoordination, or staggering, paralysis, or even death. Horse owners are encouraged to contact their veterinarian for more information and to discuss vaccination and other preventative measures, such as mosquito control. About 1,100 military federal technicians who are part of the Iowa National Guard soon will be furloughed one day a week for 11 consecutive weeks because of the so-called sequester cuts in the federal budget. Colonel Greg Hapgood, a spokesman for the Iowa Guard, is one of the employees who will be going without pay for 11 days over those 11 weeks.
A federal technician is, in some respects, a federal civilian employee Monday through Friday, but they're also a military member of the Iowa National Guard. For the most part, we do have some that are purely civilian federal technicians, but the vast majority are what we would call dual status technicians that are both a member of the Iowa National Guard and work for the federal government for the Department of Defense.
The furloughs for those 1,100 Iowa Guard personnel start July the 8th and they'll end September 30th, which is the last day of the current fiscal federal year.
The 1,100 that will be furloughed, the vast majority of those will be either between the headquarters of the Iowa National Guard and also at our Air National Guard units, which have a number of technicians in Sioux City, Fort Dodge, and also here in Des Moines. But it will be, you know, felt in all four corners of the state.
The Iowa Guard has facilities in 43 Iowa communities.
The furloughs will affect roughly less than 10% of our force, but it will make some of our processes more time-consuming. Things may be slower than usual, whether it's acquiring logistics or doing personnel actions or the wide variety of things we do with our federal technicians.
Hapgood says the Guard will be prepared to deploy whenever activated, regardless of those furloughs.
The Iowa National Guard, though hindered by these furloughs, we still will be able to maintain readiness to the best possible degree and also respond here in the state in a timely manner.
The Iowa National Guard dates back to Iowa's territorial days, with Iowa militia units forming in 1846 to help fight on the U.S. side in the Mexican War. The Iowa Air National Guard base in Des Moines is slowly moving from flying manned fighters to unmanned drones. The 132nd Fighter Wing began flying observation planes in 1941 and through the years advanced with the changes in air power to fly such planes as the P-51 Mustang, the F-100, A-7, and these days the F-16. Squadron Commander Lieutenant Colonel Tim Acheson of West Des Moines admits that the thing he will miss most is the rush of the fighter jet and going 800 miles per hour with your hair on fire. He says he's lucky to have had the chance to fly fighters in his career and will now stay in Des Moines and fly the unmanned MQ-9 Reaper.
You've been handed the keys to the ultimate sports car, and you've gotten to fly for 20 years. And now they're simply saying, okay, sports cars are actually becoming a thing of the past, and technology is evolving to this really unique and cool opportunity. And you get to serve your country, but you don't get to fly the sports car anymore. Still a very neat mission. The technology has really surpassed jet fighters, so it's something very cool. I will love the fact that I don't have to deploy.
Major Todd Pierce of Grimes is another pilot who plans to stay in Iowa.
Overall, probably a lot of disappointment. You know, pilots want to fly. That's what we do. A number of the pilots have chosen to find other units to go fly with. They've taken jobs with other Air National Guard units in other states. And the rest of us, we're here to stick it out. So that's what we're going to do.
The new mission means new training for Pierce and Acheson.
Everybody, even a current and qualified F-16 pilot, has to go to school for about 3 to 4 months to learn how to fly the RPA. There's two places where we can do the training. There's one in New York State, and the other one is down in New Mexico State. So we'll go down there, you know, who knows when or where, but we'll all start cycling through and doing that training.
He says they can take the new training in either New York or New Mexico. The changeover means the Iowa pilots staying here will each get a last ride in an F-16. Acheson has already had his.
You know, I remember telling my wife I thought for sure I was going to be crying my eyes out when I landed. But actually, I look back and reflect, and I was really blessed that, you know, I got to fly in my hometown. I never had any issues. I never had to eject. This machine pulls 9 Gs. It's a beast. And it has hurt many a very physical, athletic guy, gal in the seat because of the pressure it puts on you. I haven't had any physical ailments. My back still works.
The 21 F-16s based in Des Moines will each eventually be flown to a unit in another state with a changeover completed sometime this fall. A John Deere plant in Dubuque has laid off 65 employees in its manufacturing section. The employees of the John Deere Dubuque Works were notified Thursday, and the layoffs are effective June 24th. Deere spokesman Ken Golden says despite recent strong earnings, the decision is based on sales and demand in its construction and forestry divisions. That equipment is manufactured at the Dubuque plant. Golden said that the layoffs were according to seniority. Employees will receive compensation through the union and unemployment benefits. Alliance Technologies in Des Moines has bought a communications company, Internet Solver Incorporated of Urbandale. The terms have not been disclosed. Alliance officials say the acquisition will let Alliance, an information technology company, offer more products. They include expanded voice service options and internet phone equipment. Internet Server has about 1,400 small and medium-sized customers in central Iowa and in Omaha. Its 20 employees in Des Moines will be retained by Alliance, as will 5 in Omaha. Alliance also has offices in Cedar Rapids and in Minneapolis and in Omaha. And the parent company of West Bank says it has repurchased 1.4 million shares of its stock from American Equity Investment Life Holding Company. The purchase valued at $15.8 million represents all of the stock the West Des Moines-based life insurance company held in the bank, which also is based in West Des Moines. West Bank's parent corporation, West Bank Corporation, said it paid $10.95 per share. Shares have traded between $9 and $12.35 over the past year. The money for the stock repurchase will be borrowed. CEO David Nelson says buying the stock is an excellent use of the company's resources and creates value for shareholders. When a company buys its shares, reducing the number of publicly traded, the earnings per share increases for those who continue to hold that stock. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, U.S. employers have been hiring at a steady pace, but not at the levels that were seen during the fall and winter. The government says employers added 175,000 jobs in May. The Labor Department says the unemployment rate rose to 7.6% from 7.5% in April, but the increase occurred because more people began looking for work. Over the past 3 months, employers have added an average of 155,000 jobs. Walmart will have to answer to its shareholders today about the way it does business overseas. Company executives face increasing scrutiny from investors over how the company has handled allegations of bribery in its Mexican operations. And they face pressure to increase oversight of factory conditions abroad following a building collapse in Bangladesh that killed more than 1,100 garment workers. The annual shareholder meeting is going on this morning in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And an old Egyptian is undergoing an unusual series of procedures at a Massachusetts hospital. The 2,500-year-old mummy is at a Massachusetts General Hospital for rare cleaning and restoration. The mummy has been on display at the hospital since it was given as a gift in 1823. The first procedure involves removing the mummy from his coffin today and clearing salt deposits from his face with cotton swabs. News time is 8:11.
Listen carefully and think what your life would be like if you were constantly faced with
embarrassment, fatigue, irritability, tension and stress, anger, avoidance of social activities,
depression, negativism, danger to personal safety, reduced general health, loneliness, social isolation,
impaired memory, less adaptability to learning new tasks, paranoia, reduced coping skills, and reduced overall psychological health.
So what is it? Heart disease, cancer, or some other serious illness? For many of these diseases, the prognosis may be terminal, but the symptoms you just heard are actually linked to hearing loss. And for that, there is hope, whether the loss is mild or profound. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist with ASI. Hearing loss doesn't have to be a source of embarrassment or depression or any of the other symptoms you just heard. You can avoid many, if not all of them, by treating your hearing loss with hearing aids. Today's hearing aids offer technology that has given back what so many patients thought they'd lost for good. And it starts with an evaluation. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
In the funeral announcements, Ranald Hansen, age 87, of Elkhorn, died Monday. Funeral services for Ranald Hansen will be today at 10:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has the arrangements. Betty Crone, age 86, of Shelby, died Monday. Funeral services for Betty Crone will be this morning at 11 o'clock at the United Lutheran Church in Shelby, with the Burmeister Johansen Funeral Home in Shelby in charge of arrangements. Wiley King, age 91, of Hancock, died May the 20th in Denver, Colorado. Graveside services with military rites for Wiley King will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Oak Hill Cemetery in Irwin. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Dominic Higgins, age 16, of Yale, died Tuesday in Des Moines. Services for Dominic Higgins will be on Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Panorama High School Auditorium in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Jane Elaine Myers, age 81, of Avoca, died Thursday at Murtu Medical Center. Funeral services for Jane Myers will be held tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Robert Piper, age 82, who's formerly of Greenfield, died Tuesday in McKinney, Texas. Graveside services for Robert Piper will be held Monday at 1 o'clock at the Greenfield Cemetery. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Jean Doran, age 85, of Omaha, died May 31st. Funeral services for Jean Doran will be on Tuesday at 1 o'clock at the Congregational United Christian Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. June Schmidt, age 85, of Greenfield, died Thursday at her assisted living home in Greenfield. Services for June Schmidt are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.